Colossians chapter number 1. This morning, if I can find a marker that works, we're going to take a look at one basic, very simple word. And that's the word doctrine. It's a very misused, misunderstood word. It has a very simple definition, really it does. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. And there we read, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and that ye desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity this morning that we have to come together and to take a look at your word. As we take the time this morning to look at your word, may the things which are said and done bring honor and glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may it please also edify the saints, for it is through Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we are looking at a very basic word. The word is doctrine. And how I told Tracy yesterday in a phone conversation with I thought about possibly doing a study. And I'm not sure if it's going to be a one-week wonder or if it's going to be a little mini-series. We'll see how that goes for right now. Is one morning last week as I was heading to State College in the wee hours of the morning to put chips on the shelf at Penn State, I turn on a radio station that's a Christian station, and there was a man that was using the word doctrine. And as I was listening to him teach, what I certainly picked up in his conversation as it was going on the radio is that his idea is not matched with the Word of God teaches. And it's unfortunate because there's a lot of people that misunderstand what Bible doctrine is. Now understand, the word doctrine, when you look it up, means something very, very simple. It's what's taught. Can something be taught that is not good Bible doctrine? I said this up at Glasgow. I don't ask difficult questions. There's a good reason why I don't ask difficult questions. Because if it was a difficult question, I couldn't answer it. It's that to the point. Doctrine is what's taught. Is there things that are being taught out there that are not good?
Yes. Of course.
Of course. And it doesn't necessarily have to be Bible doctrine. It might be about anything. It might be about politics. It could be about anything, literally. And what he was teaching when he was going through doctrine, what he was teaching was the importance of going along with what his church believed. At this church, we believe this. At this church, we believe this, and this is what you should do. And guess how many verses he used whenever he was teaching this? Well, we'll give him a little credit. He was using one. One. And I hate to say he did it very poorly. It did not match anything with what Scripture actually does teach. He was taking a verse and misconstruing it. We won't talk about that right now. We're just going over something very simple, and it's doctrine. It's what's taught. Because there is doctrine that is something that's taught that is not right. Now, just to use an example, if you would with me, go to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. And we'll look at actually two passages. Matthew 16, 1. "The Pharisees, also the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired of him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it will be fair, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the sign of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Here we see the passage where Jesus Christ lets the Pharisees and the Sadducees have it right between the eyes. He tells them where, if you would forgive the expression, tells them where the bull sits. You guys don't get it. The sign was standing right in front of them. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And he was standing there. Jesus Christ himself, Israel's Messiah, was standing right in front of them. And you know what they were saying? If you would only show us a sign. The sign was right there. And he said to them, you guys just don't get it. You're not getting another sign till the sign of the prophet Jonas, which is, of course, talking about Christ coming from the dead 3 days after the fact. Now, go to Matthew chapter 15. And here's what he has to say about the whole situation. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse number 7. He calls them hypocrites again. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is what?
Far from me.
When you're looking at doctrine, when it comes to the scripture, you can sound like you know what you're talking about. But if it doesn't coincide with what the scripture teaches, you don't have a clue. And that's unfortunately what this gentleman was doing when I was listening to the radio last week when I was going to State College. There was all kinds of things, and it sounded, if you would listen to the man, it sounded like he knew what he was talking about. But again, I say, how many verses did he use whenever he was talking? One. And he botched it terribly. He really had no idea what he was talking. Look at verse number 9. But in vain, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does vanity mean? Something that's meaningless. There's no purpose to it. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of who?
Men.
There's the bottom line. There is doctrine that exists. There are people that are teaching things that are wrong. Absolutely, positively wrong. So when we want to look at Bible doctrine, when you want to look at what the Scripture has to say about it, we have to make sure we're handling it in an appropriate fashion. We want to make sure we're rightly dividing. We want to make sure what the verse says really says what we think it means. We want to compare Scripture with Scripture. We want to look and edify the saints and make sure that you yourself are being edified while you're doing the same thing. Doctrine is very important, but what is being taught needs to be in appropriate fashion and match with what God is teaching in the dispensation of grace. We need to make sure that we don't take something and see, that's what the Pharisees were doing and the Sadducees were doing. It says in verse 9, but in vain they do worship me. It's meaningless. It sounds like they're worshiping me, but they're really not, because they're doing it after the doctrines and commandments of men. It deals with what humanity wants to hear. What this guy was saying on the radio last week sounded rosy and flowery and sounded nice to a regular individual who knows nothing about the Scripture. And we need to be careful, because if we are not mindful of what we're doing, guess who else that can happen to? How many human beings do you know from the time this church began that looked like they were the right thing, looked like they knew what they were doing, and all of a sudden, they're gone? And why is that? Because they're going after the doctrines and commandments of men, rather than looking at what the Scripture teaches. It happened to them. Do you think we're any better? Do you think that happened to you or I? I'll tell you right now, it sure can. Because there are individuals who used to be a part of us that are gone. Then it breaks my heart. Because, again, I say, if it happened to them, it can happen to me. And I need to be very careful so that I don't fall into the same trap. Go back to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Doctrine is what's taught. There's bad doctrine, and there's good doctrine. And what Paul's teaching here in verse number 9 to the church of Colossae is that we want to pay attention to the good doctrine. Verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with knowledge." But notice what kind of knowledge that is. The knowledge of His will. You want to know what God's about. You want to know what's going on in this dispensation. Oh, you want to know what's going on under the kingdom program, but you need to recognize that you're not a part of the kingdom. You're a part of the mystery program, which was given to the Apostle Paul. You want to recognize the truth as he taught it, that was given to him by Jesus Christ himself. We want to look and be a part of that and be filled with the knowledge of His will. And when you understand His will, in all wisdom and spiritual what?
Understanding.
You get it. You understand. You comprehend what's really going on. You see the truth as He has been taught. And that is a part of you. And notice what happens when you're filled with the correct doctrine. Notice what happens as a result of that. Verse 10. "That ye might" what? "Walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in" how many good works?
Every good
work. You know that we can be good in every work? That's what that verse says, doesn't it? We can be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of man. No. That doesn't say that, does it? Increasing in the knowledge of God. Understanding what it is that He wants us to know. Goes right along with another word. Is edification. The importance of learning Bible doctrine. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know the verse we're going to. I know you do. That's all right. Let's go to it anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what good, sound Bible teaching will give you. We're going to 2 Timothy chapter 3 in a verse that we're very familiar with here. We go over them frequently. We go over them frequently. Misspoke. There's one word we often neglect to use, and that's verse number 15. Verse number 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." You know the scriptures. There's where knowledge is. There's where doctrine lies. Understanding the Word of God. "That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise." You want to gain wisdom? You want to understand what's being taught? Gain it from the scripture. Not man's thought process. This poor guy, as I was listening to him on the radio one day this week, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to him and I'm thinking, oh, dude, you just don't understand. He was more wrapped up in what his doctrinal statement was about rather than the scripture. We believe this. But what's more important? Your doctrine based on your church statement or what the scripture teaches? It's what the scripture teaches. Dale's pointing to his Bible. That's it. And it's able to give you wisdom to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, all of it is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for... there's that word. Doctrine. How about that? Son of a gun. Bible gives you the definition itself, doesn't it? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It brings gain for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. It reproves you. When you're doing something wrong, it points it out. So, whoop, wait a minute, Bob. You're doing it. No. Look at this verse and see what it has to say. It reproves you. It finds a fault. Once it finds a fault, what does it do? Corrects it. and gives you instruction in righteousness. It teaches you how to be righteous, not based upon Bob, but based upon the life of Christ working through me, you see. That the man of God may be what? You know, you can be perfect. Didn't we read a verse a little while ago about being able to do all good works? You can be perfect if you allow the Word of God to teach you. See, there's where doctrine lies. That's the doctrine we need to pay attention to. Doctrine is what's taught. And what Paul's admonition to us is to see the doctrine that resides in Scripture and allow it to say what it has to say and allow right division to work inside you where you have the life of Christ living inside you and you can manifest that truth in your daily living. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We want good doctrine. The doctrine that's taught through Scripture. Not based upon a doctrinal statement. Not based upon what you think it says. Allow the Word to say what it says. And if it does not, if that book does not match your viewpoint, you know what you need to do? Change your viewpoint. To match what? Scripture. You see. The believer really needs to possess Bible doctrine so that you can be edified. Doctrine will build up your soul. And you know what? Doctrine is a solution to all of life's problems. You hear that? I'm going to say it again, because it means it's really important. Doctrine, good, solid Bible doctrine, is a solution to how many of your life's problems? All of them. Every single solitary one. So that doctrine is eternally located in the Bible. When you have a problem that comes at you in life, do you ever have problems that come across you in life? If you don't, I'll give you some. You don't even have to give them back. I'll give them to you. You can have them. Okay? When there's a situation that comes up, what will help rectify that situation? The Scripture. You allow that Word to work in you that you can go through that situation. You see. Doctrine is eternally located in the Scripture. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I think I said that wrong. Let me look. Second Timothy chapter 3. As soon as I said it, I looked at notes and I'm like, that's not right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look what Paul has to say about doctrine. Is Paul our pattern? Yes. There's a verse that states that, isn't there? Yes. Paul's to be our pattern. Why is he to be our pattern? Who's our apostle? Paul, isn't he the apostle of the Gentiles? Here we see in 2 Timothy 3, verse number 10, but thou hast fully known my what?
Doctrine.
My doctrine. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, what came to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul says, you know my doctrine. And it's important that you understand what I'm teaching you, because there's going to be problems in your life. Surprise! People think, many well-intended saints think, you know what? If I have problems in my life, it's because of my sinning and there's something wrong living in my life. No. The reason you're going through problems is because of the sin nature that's indwelt in this world. Dale, do you have problems in your life?
Not very many.
Do you know why you have those problems? Because you live in a sin-stained world. And if you need to know how to go through that situation, you better have enough doctrine that's taught from that word to get you through that situation. Has anybody there ever been through monetary problems? If you haven't, get in line behind me. There's plenty of room. How do you get through those situations?
Play the lottery.
If you have my luck in the lottery, pal, you know that Powerball was up, what, 300, 400, 500 million? I bought one ticket 1 week, I bought one ticket the next week, and guess how many numbers I hit? Not one! Let's see you do that! Ha! Don't play the lottery. It's just go buy that cup of coffee at Sheets I heard a while ago. At least you get something out of it, you know? Or a Dr. Pepper. You want it there? Tracy likes Dr. Pepper. He can have a Dr. Pepper. How you get through sickness, how you get through monetary issues, how you get through this pain-stricken life is having the edifice of doctrine built inside you that you can withstand that situation. Paul, among all individuals, had problems in this world, did he not? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he lists all the situations he had go on in his life. And the problems I have in comparison to the problems that he had are like that. And yet, he got delivered through them. How did he get delivered through them? He had an edifice of doctrine taught from the Word of God that he could get through that circumstance in spite of it. Doctrine is what's taught. Paul says, you know my manner of life. You knew my doctrine, my purpose, my faith. Long-suffering. There's a reason Paul wrote long-suffering there. Because you have to suffer how long?
For a long time.
If I live to be 107, oh, please, no. For 107 years, guess what I'm going to go through if I live that long? Am I going to go through pain? Especially as I get older. I heard people talking about their birthdays and everything here and how old they are. I'm 56. I turned 56 the end of August. Guess what I'm noticing about my body now? Well, besides I'm overweight.
We've all been noticing
for a long time.
It's wearing out.
It's giving up. Last two nights, went upstairs, went to bed, lied down, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, whatever time it was. I went downstairs, not just because I couldn't, well, you know why I couldn't sleep? Because my body what? Hurt! Man alive, I am lying in bed and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna die! Because I hurt. You know, those 12-hour days on a 56-year-old guy add up after a while, you know? I'm not 36 anymore. And if I live to be 107, what do you think's going to happen to this old man? I'll be walking on to Penn State, putting chips on a shelf with a walker like this, having a rope on my back, dragging chips into the store. Oh, would that be an ugly picture? It's an ugly picture now with a 56-year-old guy. You suffer alone. In order to get through the circumstances of this life, you need to have an edifice of the doctrine of the Word of God working in you. That doctrinal statement won't get you anywhere. Fact is, that doctrinal statement more likely is going to put more pain and agony on you than what the Word does. Because in a church's doctrinal statement, most churches of the body of Christ, they make lists that are so difficult, they make it more difficult for you to be a member of the body of Christ than what God does. God says, I freed you from all that. That doctrinal statement says, no, 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 you can't do this, you can't do that, you better do this, you better do that, you better tithe. No. Because if you don't, there's sin in your life. God's going to get you. No. We've been set at liberty from that. Thank goodness. Look at verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3. but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul says, continue in the things that you've learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Who was given the message of God's grace? Where do we find out about the message of God's grace? Through? And who gave him that message? Bob, you're an old man, you're hurt, you're sore, guess what? In comparison with eternity, so what? Go take some Tylenol. Bob, your blood pressure is too high. It actually is not. I'm just making this one up. I'm very fortunate. I'm the perfect weight for a man 6'3". Unfortunately, I'm 5'8". I'm going to get taller. I have as much chance of getting taller as I have of losing weight. Probably not, but... Bob, your blood pressure is too high. I'm making it up. You know what you better do? Cut down on your salt, eat the right thing, and take these pills. You know why? Because your body is tied to this world, and it's full of sin, and your body will slowly deteriorate and go back to the ground from whence it came. And when that happens, guess where you're forever in the presence of? We need doctrine. We need good, solid, sound doctrine that we can get through the problems of this world. Romans chapter 15. Look at Paul, the examples Paul uses here. Verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness because of that great nature that's filled with inside you. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, I am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness. Why are you full of goodness? Filled with all what?
Knowledge.
What knowledge do you think they had? The Scripture. Allowing that Word of God to effectually work also in you that
believe.
And while you're at it, you're able to admonish one another. You know what that word admonish means? Gently correct. If I see something going on in your life that you're struggling with, you know what I can do? Admonish you. Give you encouragement too, but hey, I see something, Dale, I see something wrong here. I can help you with that. Let me show you through the Word of God what might help you here. Gently, what's that? I learned from the best. Am I on camera now?
You're back.
All right. If I go and I see somebody going through a circumstance, and understand, it can be something such as their spouse is sick. You're going through turmoil, and I can admonish you, I can help you get through that circumstance. And how I can help you get through that circumstance is not because I have inner good inside me, but because it's a Word of God working inside me, helping you through that thing. You see? It's because I'm built up in the doctrine that was taught me through the Apostle Paul as it's written in his epistles, so help me through that so I can help you. Maybe the shoe's on the other foot. Maybe it's I that have the problem. And you see it. And you come up to me and you gently correct me and say, Bob, I can help you through that if you would allow me to. I have some verses here that will assist you. Admonish you. Gently do it. Gently. Don't be a bull in a china shop when you do it. You ever know some people that are a bull in a china shop? Oh. Makes matters worse rather than better. Go up to somebody. Like, I'll use the instance, and I'll stay here. That way you can get me on camera. Hi. I won't go down to Dell. Dell's over here. If I go over to Dell, and he has a problem that I can help him with, what would be better that I do that go to Dell and say it this way, Dell, you dummy, don't you see 2 Timothy chapter 2? Why don't you do it, you dummy? Or would it be better if I went to Dell and said, hey, Dell, I know you're going through this problem. I've been through it myself. This verse over here helped me. Can I show it to you? Maybe it'll help you. Which one do you think will work better? First Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1. Notice the importance of good doctrine, good teaching. Verse 5. That in everything ye are enriched by Him. You're made rich. Everything is improving. How are you enriched in Him? In all utterance and in all knowledge. It's the knowledge of good doctrine. It's the knowledge of the Word of God effectually working in you that believe. Allowing it to take root in your soul that as you come across life's issues, you don't go by your church's doctrinal statement. You go by what the Scripture teaches, you see. That'll help you go through that circumstance. Colossians 1. We've just looked at this verse when we started the study today. For this cause, verse 9, for Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with a knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Being filled with knowledge. Knowledge of what? Your doctrinal statement? Or knowledge of His will? Where do you find the will of God?
In the Word of God.
Allowing that word to work through you. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what good, sound Bible doctrine, knowledge in God's Word will give you. If you allow it to. Verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now we'll stop there for just 1 second. It says, till we all come into the unity of faith. We all know this, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Where do we find out about the unity of the faith? In what?
In the Scriptures.
In the Scripture. Do we possess unity in the faith right now?
Yes.
Do we have God's complete, holy, perfect Word? Yes. And by having that, understand, when Ephesians 4 was being penned, that wasn't completed yet. God's Word was not finalized. It is now, and we're grateful for that. We all have the unity of the faith, and because we have the unity of faith, we have the knowledge of the Son of God. And because we have that knowledge, we can be a perfect man. Didn't we just read this in 2 Timothy chapter number 3? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what?
Perfect.
Thoroughly furnished unto how many good works?
All.
Because we have the unity of the faith, we can be a perfect man. unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We have the life of Christ resident inside us. Everything that He possesses, we possess. Not because we're special, but because He is. And He's given us everything freely by His grace. And because of that, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, there is a doctrine that exists that's man's doctrine. That's what's being taught. What that man I was listening to early this week was a bunch of hooey. It was all based on what their church believed. It doesn't matter what your church believes unless it matches the doctrine that resides in the Word of God. Rightly divided. And because we have the knowledge of the Son of God and we have the unity of the faith, we have the Word of God, we don't have to be children anymore. Do you ever watch children? Do you ever watch how they respond and react to things? Are you a child anymore? I remember when I was growing up, my parents telling me a number of times as I was growing up, Bob, be a big boy. You're not a big boy, you're not a little boy anymore. You're big. You're grown up. You're an adult. Act like it. That's what Paul's saying here. Mary Jane, you're a big girl now.
Really?
Be a big girl. Are you fully equipped?
Well, I should be.
Through the So should I. You have the Word of God. You have all the answers you need. Right here. Whatever goes on in your life, use that as your guiding tool. And you can get through it all. Don't be a child anymore. We don't need to be carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak the truth how? That we may grow up in Him in all things which is ahead, even who? There's the answer. There's the answer. Should we understand doctrine? Yes. But what doctrine is it that we should follow? That which is taught in the Word of God through our Apostle Paul, because he is our pattern. What it is the rest of humanity thinks about it doesn't matter. I'll tell you what the rest of humanity thinks about it. Look in this room. How many people would you say are here? I don't know. 25, 30? Maybe more, maybe less. There's church down the road that might have 2,000 people in it. But where is true doctrine being taught? And that's what we're to be a part of. Let the rest of the world think what they want to think. Let's stick by the truth and allow that truth to edify one another, including ourselves. And that will allow us to take on the system of this world. Because the system of the world is going to let you down. If it hasn't yet, and I know it has, I'm making that up. The system of the world will let you down. Because it doesn't matter what's fair. Because who's the God of this world? But there is this doctrine that we have that will never let us down. Never, ever, ever. Let us down. And that resides in the very Word of God. Let us allow the doctrine, the good doctrine, which resides in Scripture, to motivate us to do what's right and what's appropriate in spite of what the world thinks. Because He will never, under any circumstance, ever let you down. Let's, out of respect to that, do what's right in accordance with His Word. Darn old insurance men don't know when to shut up. It's time to shut up. Let's close in a word of prayer, and we'll build upon this next week. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the truth that resides within it. May we together, as members of the body of Christ, be the ambassadors for Christ that we should be. May we live life pleasing to you. As the world system comes at us, let it not deter us, let it not let us down. Let us fully go forward and do what's right in accordance with your word, because that is the doctrine that we want to be a part of. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all that you do. May we be the saints that we should be in light of what your word teaches. For it is through Christ Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.